So up next, we got Aaron, and Aaron has a session,
called
Get Your Jam On.
Now you're muted.
Oh, I'm muted?
No, you're fine. Oh. I just hear myself.
Someone had muted me. I didn't think it was me that muted me this time, though.
All right. Well, take it away, buddy.
Cool. Well, thanks, everyone, for having me today. And yes, this session is called Get Your Jam On, and we are going to be looking at Blazor specifically. So I suppose let's introduce myself. It's probably a good starting point. My name's Aaron Powell. I'm a cloud advocate here at Microsoft. I've been doing web development for a little over 15 years now, so I've probably seen it all when it comes to web development. I remember targeting browsers like Internet Explorer 3 and 4, Netscape. I remember writing applications for the web that didn't actually require JavaScript. Like, it's shocking now to think about that. But throughout that time, I've kind of mixed between doing .NET on the server and very client-side heavy applications. So that's why I kind of wanted to talk about Blazor in particular, because I think that's a really interesting story that we've got for modern web application development. If you want to reach out to me, there's a bunch of social media links that you can find me on Twitter or my website and things like that. But that's enough about me. It's time to talk about Blazor. So I want to start with a bit of a scenario. We've decided that we're going to build a new web application for a company. We want it to feel like a modern web application. We want that responsiveness that you get out of like a JavaScript application where like it's all happening in the browser, it's all client-side. But we don't have a lot of experience in client-side development with JavaScript. We've got a lot of .NET experience. So, well, do we pick a JavaScript framework and know that in about 2 weeks' time, that framework's probably going to be obsoleted because the community has moved on? Or do we go with something like Blazor? And in particular, Blazor WebAssembly. Now, this gives us the same power that we would get for doing .NET development on the like we're building on the server, but we get to leverage that thing that we love about .NET. The compile time safety, the fact that we can use Razor as our templating language. Now, those sorts of things, I think, are really nice as a web developer, and you lose a lot of that stuff when you go pure JavaScript. So we've decided that we're going to build with Blazor and WebAssembly. But, well, we're probably going to need to talk to a server at some point. We can't just run everything in the client. So we're going to explore serverless. We think that it might be a good option for the kind of application that we're building, and we're going to go down the path of using Azure Functions. Now, Azure Functions is a way of doing serverless applications in Azure, and Azure Functions has a HTTP trigger endpoint, which means that we can set up something that is going to respond to a HTTP request. Okay. Sounds perfect. We need to be able to get data back, and we can do that via just calling a web API as we would if it was running an app service. But we can also leverage some of the powers of Azure Functions. This can take care of binding to our downstream data sources, whether it's like a Cosmos DB, we want to talk to queues or storage, things like that. We can take care of that entirely with inside of Functions. We don't have to worry about that ourselves. It also will scale nicely for us because, well, I don't have to think how many app services am I going to need to provision, or how many kubelets do I have to have ready to scale out in a Kubernetes cluster. It'll be done by the serverless nature of Azure Functions. But we want to have a DevOps mindset so that we can deploy with confidence. So we're going to use GitHub Actions. GitHub Actions fits nicely because, well, we're already putting our code on GitHub. So it's all seamlessly integrated there. I can use GitHub Actions to define our workflow for when I push changes to a particular branch. It will build, deploy, run tests, those sorts of things. And it will all be there inside of that one single repository and one single location where we can go and look at things. But I did touch on something there, deploy. Where are we going to deploy to? That's kind of the million-dollar question. We want to put it somewhere, but are we going to put it into an app service? I mean, that's where I would naturally gravitate to. It's for hosting a web application. But an app service is a bit of an overkill. We're not actually going to be running any code on the server. We just need to serve out some static assets. HTML files, CSS files, a bit of JavaScript to bootstrap the WebAssembly and our WebAssembly binaries. So is app service really going to be the right place for us? And anyway, if we're going down the route of Azure Functions, well, app service means we're still going to have to deploy that functions stack separately anyway. Like, it's going to be another resource that we've got to manage. Okay, so what other options have we got? Well, we could go down the route of putting it into a storage container and using the static asset storage out of serving from storage. But then I'm going to need to put a CDN in front of that, do SSL management, custom domain. Like, that's not provided by storage. We've got to do that ourselves. And we still haven't sorted out that problem of, well, where am I going to put the Azure Functions and how do I manage the deployment of that? Is it a separate resource that I have to manage entirely? There's plenty of other things that we could look at, but there's one that I think is going to fit pretty much the use case that we've got. And that is Azure Static Web Apps. So Azure Static Web Apps is a service that's currently in preview. It was launched in preview in the start of this year at Build. And at Ignite, we added support for doing .NET applications, so .NET functions and Blazor UIs. And essentially what it is static asset hosting. It gives us a way to host our HTML, CSS, and WebAssembly files and serve those out without having to think too much about what's the underlying hosting infrastructure for that. It gives us an API backend using Azure Functions so that we can get that API that we need, but we also have that same power that we get for Azure Functions, and it's just seamlessly taken care of for us. We don't have to manage that deployment separately. It's using a globally distributed content network. So I don't have to think about, well, I'm in Australia, but are my users going to be in the US? Well, which data center in the US is going to be the right one? And then does that make a poorer experience for someone that's in Europe or somewhere like that? No, it's globally distributed for our content, so I don't need to worry about doing that stuff myself. It gives us domains, custom domains and SSL for free. Like I don't have to go and spin out another web job or something to do Let's Encrypt certificate renewal. It takes care of all the certificate renewal for me and I can put my domain on it. I mean, if it didn't support that, well, it probably wouldn't work for a lot of scenarios. And it integrates directly with GitHub Actions, which works nicely again for me because that's the direction I'm going for hosting the application. And finally, it has built-in authentication. Now, whether you're using Azure AD, GitHub Authentication, Twitter, or other social media providers, we get that entirely out of the box with Azure Static Web Apps. So I don't need to go about setting all that stuff up myself. Static Web Apps also supports staging environments through GitHub pull requests. So it fits very nicely for that development workflow that we've got as a team. Now, a colleague is working on a change. They send a pull request into the repo. And normally I would pull down their changes, I would spin up the environment and just like make sure that I didn't have to park anything that I was working on and maybe reset my environment so that I could test their changes before it goes out. But with Static Web Apps, it will actually deploy that side by side with our production application so that I can test it on the production infrastructure without having to worry about setting up environments myself. It just is taken care of for me entirely. But I think that's enough slide deck for now. Let's jump over to the browser and have a look at how we can get started with Static Web Apps. So the easiest way to get started with Static Web Apps on a Blazor application is to go to the Static Web Dev organization on GitHub, and we have a Blazor template there. Now this will give us an application that's using the conventions that we've got for doing Blazor applications. So I'm going to start by using this template and let's go through the process of completely creating one from scratch. So we'll click use this template and let's give it a name, call it .NET Conf 2020. And we can do either a public or a private one. I'm just going to do public. We'll do a public because that way people can grab the code if they want to and have a look at it afterwards. And we'll create their repository from the template. So this is just setting up some conventions that we've got for the way that we've designed static web apps at the moment, but a lot of those we can change later. So we've got an API, a client, and a shared folder, or shared project, and I'm just going to open that in code spaces and leave that to get started while we jump over to Azure and actually deploy an application. So the easiest way is to come into here and click search, and we go static, like and type, static web apps, here we go. And then we're going to add a new one. I need to create a resource group or select one that I've got already. And I have a .NET Conf one here. Give it a name, we'll call it .NET Conf 2020. And I have already called it that. So we'll call that demo. the value of doing dry runs beforehand is that you've got a whole bunch of resources already hanging around just in case your demos don't work the way you're hoping they will. Now we do have to select a region. This is for things like the metadata that's associated with the static web app that's being deployed, and also where the functions will be initially deployed to. So I'll just pick one there, and then I'm going to sign into my GitHub account. And we'll go through our auth flow there. So this is going to know about the different organizations I've got in GitHub. So I'll select my account and we'll wait for that to load up. Here we go. And find our project.net conf 2020. And then what branch do we want to deploy? Now, at the moment, I've only got a single branch in there, which is the main branch. But you can imagine that you have a release branch, which is where, you know, the releases are going out to, and then your pull request branches or your development branch and things like that. So we'll just select main, hit review and create, get ready. And oops, I realized I did actually forget one step. If we go back to the basics, we've got to tell static web apps, well, how does this repository look and where are the files that it's going to need? Well, for that, we can use the build presets. Now we have it here for a bunch of different JavaScript frameworks, but also Blazor. Because static web apps is going to, well, it needs to understand how your repository is structured. Well, for ours, we have the client folder, which is where the Blazor application is living. So we say the application is in client. So this is the folder where your CS prod would live. Where is the folder that your API lives? So this is in the API folder. Again, where your CS or FS prod folder file is. And then the app artifact location. This is where the Blazor application publishes out to. Now, Blazor by convention will always publish to a folder called www.root. And the build system that's used for static web apps understands that. So we don't need to change that last one. Now we can click review and create. And in a moment when this pops up, there we go, we'll hit create. And this is going to spin up that resource for us. Now, what this is doing is making sure that the appropriate resources within inside of Azure, so the thing that's going to be serving out our static assets and our Azure function are provisioned. But it's also going to go ahead and set up a GitHub Actions workflow file for me and contribute that to the repository of my project. Here we go, we'll jump over to that. And we'll see here, this is the URL of my web application. We'll see that it's tied to the main branch. We can see here is the workflow file and the GitHub Actions that are running. I'll pop over to the code space that has started up. We'll zoom that in just a little bit more. And I'm just doing a git pull to make sure that I do have that workflow file. Close off all the little pop-up notifications as it synced all of my extensions into the code space. Give that a moment. Refresh, there we go. It has now discovered our workflow file. So the workflow is still going to be running in the background. And we can see it here. So let's just talk about what that workflow file is doing while it's running. We have our triggers, so it's going to be on a push to the main branch or pull request that go into the main branch. We then have our jobs. We have a build and deploy job, which is for a push or a pull request that wasn't a closed event. So this is because a closed event will actually tear down the staging environment that's been created for you. So there's no need to close that down yourself. Just make sure that the font size is a good size for everyone that's watching on stream. Now, inside of this this job here, it's just a standard GitHub Actions job. You can do whatever you want in it. The most important one is using this Azure Static Web Apps deploy GitHub Action. What that's going to do is take some credentials that are already provisioned as secrets. We didn't even have to set those up. It sets that up for us while the resource is deploying so that it knows how to deploy into our Azure resource. And here is the app location and the API location that we had set up in the portal. Now, if we restructured our project a little bit, move folders around, things like that, well, we could come back here and change it and the deployments would continue to work. But let's say that I wanted to add an additional step here, like do a .NET test or tag the commit because it's getting deployed. Well, I could actually do that here. I could just add more steps to the job. There's no problems with doing that. The job, the workflow file is entirely yours to modify as you need it to be modified. Let's come back to our actions. And there we go, that one's completed, as I was hoping it would, because I didn't actually change anything. It was just a standard run. And we can have a look at like the build logs and see what's happened here. See that this is run. We've detected that it's a .NET application. It's done our compilations. If we had compilation errors, we would get those here and we could have our build failure. And then eventually we'll see that it has deployed to our site. And if we come back, give it a reload, we'll see that we now have a Blazor application. This is just the Hello World application like you would get by creating it with inside of Visual Studio. It's got a counter where if I do clicking the button, it increases. The difference though is that the fetch data, instead of pulling a file from a local reference, it's actually going out to an API endpoint, which we've got here at weather forecast. If we click onto that, we'll see it's going to /API/weather forecast. Now that is the Azure functions that have been deployed in our backend. Let's come in to actually have a look at a bit of the code and maybe let's make a change. So we're going to create a new branch, git checkout -b changes. And we'll come into our client application and let's go to, say, the fetch data page. And let's just put maybe a smiley face onto there. We'll just do some minor changes just to show what happens when we create a pull request and how that deployment happens differently. And we'll also do that change in the API. So coming to weather forecasts, at the moment it's only returning 5 weather locations. Let's bump it up to 10. Now, while this change is going out, we'll have a look into a bit of the code and see if we can find anything specific for static web apps. So let's just add that, git add and git commit, making changes, and we'll push that as changes. And we'll create our own pull request and, essentially just pull request back into our own repository. And now we play the waiting game while we see how fast my internet connection wants to be as I try and push up those changes. In fact, it should actually be a whole lot faster because this isn't running on my machine. It's running in the GitHub code spaces. There we go. We can create our pull request. Too easy. So that's going to start a new workflow. That build will happen. We'll see that pop here in a moment in our GitHub pull request information. There it is, saying that those checks are happening. Now, while it's going on, let's have a look at the API itself. Well, this is an Azure function. So if you've not used Azure functions beforehand, what we do is we define a trigger. So the thing that's going to make this function start up. So that's what the HTTP trigger is there. And then we could have bindings, which are other resources that we're pulling in, right? Connections to Cosmos DB, storage accounts, queues, et cetera, et cetera. Inside of this, it's just a bit of dummy code where it's going to generate a range of weather forecast items and then return those as a JSON result back out to the consumer. Inside of fetchdata.razor, this is a Blazor razor file. We are getting a HTTP client injected. We see at the top, it's just injecting our HTTP client. It's doing get JSON, and we're deserializing that as an array of weather forecasts. Now this file, this type in is a shared type. So we'll see that is in the shared project. So we're able to share stuff, client and server, still, because it's all written in .NET, I can have the Azure functions are using the same data contracts that our client is using. This gives us a good amount of type safety end-to-end with inside of our API requests. And everything else is, if you've done Blazor WebAssembly before, it'll look very familiar to you. We're setting up our program. We don't have anything in here specifically that says, hey, this is running in static web apps. You probably want to do this, that, or the other. We're just setting up connections, setting up the application, setting up the base address for where our API is living. We've set defining other HTTP services or other dependency injection services we might want to have inside of our application. Okay, let's come over to our pull request and we'll have a look to see if that's done yet. Almost done. And what we'll find is inside of Azure, we have an environments tab. There we go. It's literally deployed in the time it took me to swap between those tabs. So these environments are all the ones that I've got created for my application at the moment. We'll see that I have my production environment, which is running off the main branch, which I could go to. And then we have our staging environment, which is running off that changes branch, and it's literally just been deployed. So we'll pop that open. And inside of the address bar, we'll notice that it has the pull request ID suffix to it. So this means that this one is specific to that new pull request that has come in and fully independent of anything else. And if we zoom in, come into fetch data, we'll see that we have our lovely smiley face. we're now getting a whole lot of additional results. But if we went to the one which was the production environment, reload that, we'll see that this is still going to have just returning the initial five. So I've been able to deploy a set of changes that haven't impacted anything that's running in production. There's other things we can do in inside of the Azure portal. We can manage configuration, so connection strings, things like that. And we can even do that per environment. So I could swap. So if I was adding like a new API endpoint and that needed to connect to a new Azure service or a new source of some format, I could do that, but only inside of that environment until it rolls into production. Now, this is all well and good, but we've only really looked at a fairly simple application. I want to pop open to another slightly more complex application. And anyone that's been doing Blazor WebAssembly might be familiar with this. This is the Blazing Pizza application. So this is a workshop that exists for learning how to build Blazor applications. And we're in the process of porting this to run on static web apps in WebAssembly in a fully serverless model. So the way that this is working is that it connects to an Azure Functions API provided by static web apps and uses a Cosmos DB backend. If we come over to, here we go, an example of the application. This is what it looks like inside of the work that we're working towards. So we have our client application, which is our WebAssembly project that does the same as the existing WebAssembly project that we have for the workshop. But we now have a serverless backend written in both F# and C#, depending on your flavor of .NET language that you want to use. And we can have a look at, say, connecting through to the specials. So this is listing out the pizzas that are available on the homepage. Now, the real power that we've got with this is because this is running in Azure Functions, I can just say that, well, I need some input from Cosmos DB. This is the collection and the stuff with inside of Cosmos DB I want. Here's the query I want you to execute and a connection string. And I haven't actually had to write connection management logic. I haven't had to do serialization or deserialization of data or anything like that. It's just taken care of entirely by the Azure Functions stack. And I just write a little bit of code that then returns that as the right HTTP result. Just to show you what the C# version looks like, it's pretty much identical. We'll see here that we have the same Cosmos DB binding. We have the same SQL query. We get an enumerable, and it's actually using a .NET type that exists in a class library that's shared between the client and the server, as we saw with the weather forecast data. And this is returning our OK object result, so it can be consumed. Now, this is still, like I said, a work in progress. We've got a few things that we need to finish off for that, but it does mean that we'll have something coming soon that allows you to learn how to build a suitably complex application with authentication and an API backend to work with Azure Static Web Apps and Blazor. So, what's next? Well, the preview is available for static web apps and for the Blazor support on static web apps. Now, I know that this is a conference where we're talking about .NET 5 and all exciting things with .NET 5, but because we're running with a couple of different preview bits here for the static web app support, we are still targeting only the 3.1 release of Blazor WebAssembly. We'll be getting support for .NET 5 soon, but I can't give you any kind of hard timelines or anything like that. So if anyone's asking that on Twitter or in chat, I'm sorry, I can't give you anything more concrete there. Similarly with authentication, we're wanting to make sure that the authentication model that's provided by static web apps just fits nicely into the Blazor experience. You know, the same way as if you were connecting to an ID server or any other authentication model that we've got provided for Blazor, we want that same experience with static web apps. And as I said, we're working on the Blazing Pizza workshop, getting that updated to support the static web apps model and the serverless approach to doing a Blazor application. Now, if you want to know more about static web apps and Blazor support, I recommend you check out the two links that I've got here on the slides. The first is aka.ms/.NET/conf/swa-docs, which is going to take you to the documentation for static web apps. And it'll talk about things like how you define complex routing and the authentication model in more details, as well as some tutorials on getting started by building a first one. As well, the other link is to the MS Learn module for static web apps. So aka.ms/.NET/conf/swa-learn, or you can use the QR codes that are on screen. And finally, I'll tweet out these links on the .NETconf hashtag. But we're just about out of time. Thanks everyone for joining me today to learn a bit about how we can do fully serverless approaches to a Blazor and .NET application on Azure. I hope you've enjoyed, and I hope you've learned something, and I can't wait to see what you build with it. Thanks.
Great talk. Thank you very much.
Just made me hungry,
Just made me hungry, though. I'm just going to order some pizza, I guess.
Yeah, I know. It's nearly lunchtime here in Australia, and I'm like, what am I going to have for lunch? Is it going to be pizza? I have a feeling it might be.
All right. Well, we have one question. Can I port my existing Azure Functions app to run under Azure Static Web App, or is there only are there only for HTTP triggers?
So it's a good question and something that I can definitely see people want to do, because Azure Functions provides a lot more functionality than just HTTP triggers. We can be triggering on when things are coming out of like a Cosmos DB, like when the collections have changed and things like that. Right now, Azure Functions support in static web apps is just for HTTP triggers. So if you did want to do something that monitors an Azure queue and does some operations on that, or event hubs or anything like that, you would have to run that in a separate Azure Functions resource deployed into Azure. Just because static web apps is focusing around building the web application functionality. How do you get data back to a client? If it's support that you want and you want to see that feature going forward, I definitely recommend reaching out to the team. They have a GitHub registry at github.com/azure/static web apps. I think it's static web apps or static web app issues. Yeah, I'll pop it on the hashtag and just show the kind of use cases that you've got and what sort of support you'd want for additional bindings and triggers with inside of Azure Functions.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Cecil, for asking that question. I guess that's all of the questions we have. To ask questions, please go to Twitter and use the hashtag .NETconf and head to the .NETconf website and check out this the swag over there. It's pretty cool. Also, check out the treasure hunt over there. You can win a Star Wars Millennium Falcon Lego kit,
which is awesome.
Which is awesome. So thank you very much, Aaron. That was great. Appreciate it.